So as we just prayed, we are finishing up. You'll get the focus over there on that side. Click over on the side window. Thank you. All right. So we're finishing up the book of James. This is the today we're going to go over the last two verses in that book. We've been in the book of James for some time now. If you have the notes, I decided a dozen is a good biblical number. So I picked 12. 12 key verses that we've gone over in the past months as we've gone through James. Just to get, you know, if you were to sum up James, what do you know, this is like the review of the course at the end, you know, the last class of the day, last class of the semester, time to review everything we've learned. So let's just take a moment before we jump on this last couple of verses, and let's review what we learned. First off, we discerned that it's a joy when we meet with various trials. Is that good to swallow? Consider it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. You know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Remember, the Lord tests you when he thinks you're going to pass. So you're worthy of the testing. Have that in your heart. Second one, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we should seek God. Wisdom is, how does God think about this, right? What is the application of knowledge in God's way? We learn that in James 1:5. The next one says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Do you see a theme in James? Testing, trials, you need wisdom. Be steadfast under trials. Because when you've stood the test, you will receive the crown of life which God promised those who love him. Amen. Then he said, be doers of the word. Kind of switch gears. You're being tested. Do what you know. Do what you're instructed. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Why? Because faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. That's the famous James scripture that everyone's looking at. Can you say that? Yeah, it is the evidence of your faith. Remember, we're going to talk a little bit about fruit again today. A tree is known by its fruit. And your faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. Then he said, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. Stop it, basically. My brothers, this should not be so, right? Stop it. Use your mouth to bless. Curb your tongue. Otherwise. Then he said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That testing. Submit yourselves to God. God is the one who gives you the faith, the courage, and all the things that you need, that you can resist the enemy that comes to attack us. Next, we learned, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to that person, that's sin. God places in your heart what's right to do. We're going to talk a little bit about what right to do here as we kind of get to the end of the chapter again. Actually, all of these roll into the end of the chapter. The next one, you too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. When you're under your trials and you're testing your trouble, be patient. You know there's an end coming. The Lord is coming back for us. And he will give you, sustain you through until he gets here. That's that patient part. And then we've learned just recently, whatever, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Walk in truth, walk in what you say. Then if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone among you is cheerful, let him sing. And then we just said, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person, that outcome is the great power of God that is working in you. Okay, that's kind of like where we got through with James, of summing up in 12 verses. Okay, you good? So you know what a P.S. is on a letter? You ever write your letter, and then you have this big, long letter, and then P.S., go feed the dog, right? Or P.S., you know, don't forget to send me my cookies. You know, it's like this one final thought. You had this great letter. We just went through 12 key points of this great letter, and these last two verses are kind of like, oh, and P.S., by the way, let's remember this one. My brothers, some translations say brothers and sisters, so my family members. If any among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Wow, that one's kind of hard to wrap up if you just kind of read it and go on. So let's take a moment on this. Because today's verse, there's really two actors. There's two people involved in this little vignette, right? The first person involved in this vignette is anyone among you who wanders from the truth. That's actor one. Actor two in these verses is the someone who brings him back. So, you know, any good story has the antagonist, protagonist, right? So we have that. And what we have in here really is the wanderer who wanders from the truth. So we will call that person the wanderer. That's the role. The wanderer played by somebody. And the next person in our story is the someone who brings him back. What does that mean? So we're like, wait, God's in charge of everything. Is God at work and will? Yes, it is God who is working, God who works. But what we're going to talk, brothers and sisters, is that this particular PS is not so much to the wanderer. The wanderer is just the person involved, the real target who is being spoken to in these last little PS of the book of James is the someone that brings him back. And we're going to call that the guide. I went through 18, 19 words. What should I call it? The someone, the whatever, right? The bringer backer. You know, then the English people are going to yell at me because that's not really a word. So I looked up who helps a wanderer find their way back. A guide does. So today we're going to have our two people in the story. We have the wanderer and we have the guide. So let's begin. I have the wanderer and the guide. There we go. Let's take a look at the wanderer. We go back to this scripture. I find four things about the wanderer. Let's just take a moment. First off, he was among us. The wanderer is someone who was among us. This is addressed to brothers and sisters, people in the fellowship. This was someone who was among us. And at a minimum, it was someone who was among us in location, right? It's someone who's sitting in the same chairs we're sitting in. That's one way to look at it. But we're going to talk a little bit about this. Some person that is among us is a brother and a sister. And we're going to talk about what that means. So the first thing about this wanderer is that they were among us, at least in location, at a minimum, right? Here among us. The second one is they went away from the truth. So the second thing we can know about this wanderer, they were at least close to the truth. They were exposed to the truth. They knew the truth because they went away from it. Okay? The third point. Let them know that whoever brings back the wanderer, it says bring back a wanderer. No, it says brings back a sinner from his wandering. So this wandering is sin. Okay? The fourth, next point we go. That wanderer brings back the sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death. That's a good one. So what that means is that if someone needs saved from death, they must be headed for death. So the wanderer was among us. The wanderer was exposed to the truth, knew the truth, understood that had exposure to the truth. They started sinning. They're headed for death and destruction, but the end, and this is where Dwayne says, does everybody have a happy ending? Well, with the ending of our story, when the wanderer repents, then they will be saved from soul and they'll be covered, their sins will be covered. So when we look at this wanderer, it's with the understanding of these two possibilities, let's talk a little bit more about those attributes of the wanderer. First off, the someone who was among us, you know, we can look at it. You could really go with two different approaches to this wanderer. It is either a person who is physically located, came and has been among us, has been exposed to the truth. The sower has thrown the seed out on that person who is among us. And the seed landed on hard path. The seed landed on rocky, thin soil. The seed landed where the whole bunch of weeds are. And the seed landed on good soil. You know that parable, right? The parable of the sower. So this person that one of the ways we can, this wanderer could be one of these people who's the rocky, thin soil or the weedy soil. They heard the truth. They sprung up quickly. They're like, this is great. And then they were either dry, no depth of root, and they withered away. Or what happened with the weeds? They got choked out, right? The cares of the world overcame them, and they got choked out, and all their excitement went away. So this wanderer who was among us and hurt, was exposed to the truth, could be the kind of person that we're told about in the parable of the sower. Another aspect that we could look at this wanderer, someone who was among us, knew the truth, started sinning, is headed for destruction, and needs their sins covered. It very well could be a brother or sister in Christ. It very well could be someone who is either immature in their walk and needing help, or they're just stumbling. They're falling on their face. They have something that's just beating the put out of them, and they're sinning. And they're in need. So a believer that is stumbling is either immature or in willful defilements, is off the path. Believer, if this is the path, that much is off the path, right? It could be one misstep or wandered so far off, I can't even see where the path is, right? So if you are, perhaps, a wanderer today, just a little bit off path, perhaps way off path, the Lord is telling you, repent of this sin, because you're headed for death. Let's talk a little bit about the death you're headed for. Really, look at this death like, okay, I said, Chuck and Dwayne, this is what I'm going to say about death. Are you cool with me saying these things? And yeah, we're cool with this. All right, so death, like we could have two kinds of wanderers. They're really, this death, save their soul from death. First off, if they're one of those, one who's just among us because they were physically here and among us and they heard the truth, but they withered away, they were choked out by weeds, and there was no fruit in their life, that death is what? It's eternal death. Separation from our God, right? What makes that eternal death so bad? I've said, well, what makes hell so bad? Because God is not there. He has removed himself. Right now, we even though it's freezing outside and terrible and cold and nasty, some people say it's pretty, we are all under common grace, right? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun, we just sang, summer, winter, springtime, and harvest, right? The world will continue. God's common grace is to everybody. Whether you're currently in his salvation or yet to believe or a lost person, you're under God's common grace. His goodness is around us. But there will be a day, and there will be a place where his common grace doesn't exist. His presence is not there. And that's what makes hell so bad, is the absence of God. Absence of everything good, the absence of God, that's what makes hell so bad. So that eternal death, that destruction for that one kind of wanderer, yeah, we want to save them from that, right? We want to guide them away from that. And we'll talk a bit about that guide. The second kind of death that we say, save their soul. What is your soul? We've talked about this before, right? Our three-part being, right? We have the physical body. We got our eternal spirit, and we have our soul. What's the soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions, your consciousness, right? This is, and you're going to save your soul, your mind, your will, your consciousness from death. So the second death could be destruction of your character, destruction of your. I wrote it down, so I'll just read it. Could be destruction of your witness, your character, and the devastation of life of disobedience. a believer who is walking in disobedience, remember, the Lord, anyone who the Lord loves, he will discipline and he will chasten. Chasten means beat, right? Chasten means cause pain. He will chasten his sons and his daughter. And if this wanderer is walking in disobedience to what God has for them, he's going to beat them. It's not going to be pleasant. There's going to be death and destruction and devastation, and your life is going to be a mess. But there's hope. And the third kind of death that this could mean, for, again, for a believer, you could go so far out of God's desire for you and so disobedient to him that he's going to say, I'm done with you. Come here. He did that with Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They walked into Paul. They lied. It must have been a character trait of them. They lied, and Paul said, no, you're done. And they fell down dead. Their body physically died. They went to be with the Lord. The Lord said, I'm done. Come here. Also in 1 Corinthians, when Paul is talking about people who take the Lord's Supper improperly, I'll give you the 1 Corinthians 11:30. He said, some of you are screwing up so bad with the Lord's Supper, that's why you're sick, and some have died. He will take you out. And there's finally, another is in 1 Corinthians 5:5. He said, let that man who is disobeying go out, let the devil beat him up for the destruction of his flesh. His body's going to die. The Lord's going to say, I'm done with you. Come here. So there's three ways that this death could come. Could be the eternal death of an unbeliever. It could be the death of your character and your joy in life because you're walking in disobedience. And it could be to the very, very point that the Lord says to you, okay, I'm done with you. Come here. And he'll take your life. Scripture says, fear God. Fear the one who's in charge of your very life. Right? So, when the wandering has saved his soul from death, we want to understand what that means, right? So, whichever type of wanderer we're dealing with, once they repent, okay, there's always repentance. Once they repent, there's a happy ending. Amen? You save your soul from death, and your sins are covered, and you're back in fellowship with your God. You're back in fellowship, quite frankly, with your fellow believers. The unity of the church, the unity of yourself, you are in unity with God to be in unity with one another. That's what whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from destruction. His sins will be covered by our God's grace and unity. That unity with God of that wanderer and the unity among ourselves. So if anyone here is a wanderer, come back. Come back. All right. But this scripture is not about the wanderer. We spend a lot of time on the wanderer. But the real instruction is to who? The guide. Brothers, if there's somebody wandering, someone go bring him back. And let you know, whoever brings this guy back, you help save his soul from sin. Now, wait a minute. God is the one who saves. Wait a minute. Can I say that? Can I say that a brother, when you bring him back, you're helping to save his soul from death? Yeah. It's the guide. The guide is where I want to spend because I pray none of us in this room are wanderers. Or if we're wandering, we only wander for a moment and the Lord smacks us upside the head and we get back on the path, right? But every one of us in this room, when the Lord calls you to be a guide, you're to be a guide. Let's talk about that, the guide. But the focus of the scripture is on the one who brings back the sinner from his wandering. The scripture is not speaking directly, it's not speaking to the wanderer, it's speaking to the guide. Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, "So in everything, do to others as you would have them do unto you." What's that? The golden rule, right? We knew this, but listen, apply this to yourself. If you were wandering, maybe it's just one step off the path, maybe you're five steps, maybe you're over there. Hey, dude, would you want a brother or sister to come to you and admonish you and say to you, would you, if you have an issue of sin in your life and a brother pointed it out, and this friend came alongside and encouraged you to repent and live righteously, would you want that? The answer is yes. Yes, I want that, right? If I want my brothers and sisters, if they see something in me, point it out. Hey, Andy, you were kind of harsh. My wife was really good at this. She's not here. She's hi, Trace. She's very good. Andy, you were kind of harsh with that person, because my words can come out kind of harsh sometimes. And she'll point it out. And I'm like, yes, dear. And I go back. Please forgive me. Yes, we need those, even those little moments. Stay on the path. I'm gonna go off script for just a second. I learned, because I traveled so much in my work life, on planes a lot, and just understanding how planes work, and there's what they call a ping, right? The transponder, as it's traveling, it just continuously says ping, because it knows I'm going from here, this direction to this direction, so from this coordinate to this coordinate, and there's a path to go there, right? But continuously, that airplane's ping, 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 it's checking. Because, hey, when you're in the sky, there's winds, there's all kinds of things taking that plane off course. And there's just a constant ping. Am I on course? Do I need to adjust? So it's not like head that way and go and hope we get there. It's just every moment of the flight, it's pinging, 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 pinging. Am I on course? Do I need to adjust? Am I on course? That's how we need to be. Search me, O Lord. See my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting, right? We need pings, right? Look at the word. You hide the word in your heart. It just comes, the Lord, the Holy Spirit just brings back some scripture. Oh, yeah, okay, good. Ping. Keep on course, right? All right, so someone's off course. So I want to begin with the golden rule, but I want to go to way back to Genesis 4. Cain slew Abel. And Cain, kind of in a brazen way, had this famous statement when God said, hey, Cain, where's Abel? What did Cain say? What, am I my brother's keeper? Kind of a brazen, implying no in his answer. Well, Cain is not the example we follow. You are your brother's keeper, right? You are your brother's keeper. And this scripture is just one of the many that says, look out for one another. And if someone's off course, go to them and help bring that sinner back from his wandering. That's the call to you. I'm a little behind on my slides. There's the golden rule. But the next one. Dear brothers and sisters, so this is actually, it's going to sound very similar to what we just read in James 5, but this is Paul in Galatians 6. Hey, brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the what? The right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So it's like, wait, James said somebody's off the path and needs to get back. And wait, Paul said somebody might be off the path and needs to get back, because it's all coming from the Holy Spirit, right? Two ways. James said it in James 5 and Paul said it in Galatians. It's the same thing. If there's a brother or sister who's stumbling, or maybe they're just immature. There is a thing of immaturity, right? I'm a new believer and I just don't get it yet. And I still got all these old clothes on and I still got to get some stuff off of me, right? You're that way. That's okay. Gently and humbly, help them see the right way to go. God has put us together so that we can iron sharpen iron, speak to one another in all that we do. You listen, you gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. That's the call to you, brother and sister in Christ. Look out for each other. But this last sentence, be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. I meant to look it up, I forgot. Where's the scripture? Bad morals corrupts absolutely. It's in the epistles. I'll go that way. But it's when you, and by the way, be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. When you go to someone who's screwing up, they might be doing things that are not appropriate. And when you go hang out with them, you shouldn't start doing, be careful. There's some guidelines here. Be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. If you go to somebody who has something that's eating their lunch, are you going to get caught up in that? Right? Who you hang out with matters. So we should hang out with ones that are encouraging us to love and good deeds, right? So be careful when you go to this person who's wandering that you don't fall into the same temptation yourself. But with that, we should have love for our brothers and sisters. And first off, the next thing I want to know is that in so many ways, God doesn't need you to do it. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on the donkey and everyone was yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he, right? And they're like, hey, should we tell him to be quiet? What did Jesus say to those guys? Even the rocks will cry out if these people aren't yelling about me. What he says, I don't need you to do it. I choose you to do it. I empower you to do it. I can make the rocks do it if I need to. Same thing with this guide. Does the Lord need you to guide? No. Does the Lord choose you to work in someone's life? Yes. This is that you have been found worthy for the test. I will call you to go to somebody and speak to them. And I'm going to use you as my instrument. You're my rock today that's going to sing my praises. So rest assured, the Lord doesn't need us to do this. He could correct somebody however he wants to. He chooses to use you. He's instructed us. Encourage, love one another. We're going to go through a bunch of scriptures. I'm going to beat you over the head with what God says to do this. I'm going to give you scripture after scripture after scripture. Yes, we should do this. So we will do that. But as we do this, let me caution us with a couple guardrails. First guardrail is what I just said. Be careful that you don't become involved in the things that are taking someone a wanderer, right? Go in the right places, do the right things, hang out with the right people, and help the person who's wandering. Second guardrail. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. So the first guardrail I will tell you, this person that's wandering, make sure it's not just your own opinion or preference. He sings weird. He sings terrible songs. I need to go get him off that path, right? No, that's an opinion. That's a preference, right? I have the style that I lead us in, and some people are like, well, I like it. Some people, well, I don't really like it. Okay, well, I am what I am. So, but make sure that what you're concerned with is not just an opinion or a preference or even a disputable matter, right? Guardrail one, it's truly someone who's off the path and sinning. Guardrail two, make sure there's not a log in your own eye, right? You see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own. Hey, Chuck, I need to talk to you about your mouth. You got a little feisty with somebody, and I got this log sticking out of my mouth this big, right? So check yourself first, right? Jesus said, get the log out of your own eye first, then you can see clearly to help the other person. Another guardrail, kind of back to Ephesians, with all humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another with love. Are you going to go to this person in a loving manner? Don't do it out of spite, right? I'm going to go get him. Hey, you are, with an aggressive, spiteful way. How dare you be the person that working that way? That's not what God calls you to do. Humility, gentleness, patience, and with love. And this other one is, really, this is kind of my first one to say, this is what our call. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, right? We want to get back to fellowship with God. The goal of our guiding is the restoration of the wanderer to fellowship through repentance, first with God, and then with his brothers and sisters. Because the wanderer is offending God, and he may be offending his brothers and sisters. And if you are wondering, you need to repent, and you need to repent and ask forgiveness from God, you may need to come to one another. Remember, we just got done, confess your sins to one another in James? So we need to do that. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more verses just to beat us over the head with why we're called to do this. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, right? We are called to be each other's guide. Stir up one another to love. What is love? This is agape, right? A sacrificial love. Greater love has no man than this. Then what? I lay down my life. Wait, I was busy. I didn't want to go mess with it. No, lay down your life. That's the whole take up your cross business, right? If anyone come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. You know what taking up your cross means? It means I'm sacrificing my life for someone else. That's what agape means. I'm going to stop. Okay, I was going to do this and this and this today, but you know what? Set that aside. I need to go see my brother. That's what love is. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. We are called to go to your brother and sister. All of them, but especially that wanderer. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Encourage. Find one another. Help one another. You are your brother's keeper. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Meeting together. Meeting together is this. Meeting together is, let's go have coffee. Meeting together is a home group. Meeting together is, I saw you at Walmart, I'm going to sit and talk with you for 15 minutes at Walmart because you needed it. That's what meeting together is. And finally, all of this is about that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Why? And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. So we want the wanderers to be in fellowship with God. And when they're in fellowship with God, they're in fellowship with us. And it's beautiful. And it's beautiful. So, beloved, if you are wandering, come to the truth. If you're a wanderer who is, you were casting seed out, be fertile soil. Be soil that hears the truth. And it brings forth fruit, right? Brings forth that which is Christ in you. God, our Lord and Savior, desires your repentance, your fellowship, and loves you dearly. If you're stumbling off the path, if you're sitting there saying, wow, this hit me right here, the Lord desires fellowship. Come back to fellowship. I sang a bunch of songs today on purpose. I'm forever grateful for his love. Great is thy faith. Come, now is the time to worship. I had the luxury of knowing what the preacher was going to say this week, so I chose a bunch of songs that kind of go with it. But the Lord desires your fellowship. Yes, I cheated on the test. I looked at the end. And for the rest of us, or for all of us, right? If the Lord is calling you to help guide someone, guide one of his children. You be obedient and loving to the call he's put on your life. He doesn't need you to do it, but he calls you to do it because that's what he wants his people to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you thankful for you, for that you love us, that we are forever grateful for your love, that you're with us, Father. If someone's in this room and they are yet to believe, Father, I pray this is the day that they realize the faith you've given them, that Jesus is their Savior and their God, and we thank you so much for that, that their soul is no longer destined for death, but destined for eternal fellowship with you. Father, for those of us that might be among us that are stumbling, Father, may the ping of your word come to our life and we get back on course, Father. May we always look to our left, look to our right, and love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We bless your name. We're thankful that you're faithful. We bless your name. Amen.